In today's harsh world, sometimes personal qualities such as kindness and goodness are considered weak. The experts tell us if we're going to succeed, we need to set aside common courtesies and push our way to the top. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that God's ways are not man's ways. Chuck is teaching a brand new series on the fruit of the Spirit. In this study, we're taught to cultivate virtues like kindness and goodness. Chuck titled today's message, Courteous Twins in a Corrupt Culture. And we begin with prayer.
Our struggles are profound, Father, in this world that has lost its way. It's easy for us to live our lives frightened, fearful at every turn, even in sending our children to school. We're spending time alone, wondering if we might be next. So strengthen us, we pray, in the realm of the unknown. Be to us our guardian and guide, our protector, our faithful God. We give today, Lord, that the work of this ministry might continue on to reach out to those going through such times, here in our own country as well as abroad. We want to be generous. We want to be grateful for what you have provided. So may those thoughts fill our minds as we give today. And minister, I pray, through thoughts on our goodness and kindness when these qualities are so greatly needed. Begin with us, and then use us as we spread these qualities in the lives of others. We pray through Christ, and we give our gifts in his name. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. Did you know about the spiral-bound workbooks for our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies? To dig deeper into the fruit of the Spirit on your own, you can purchase a workbook today by going to insight.org/workbooks. And now the message from Chuck called Courteous Twins in a Corrupt Culture.
I find it interesting that in this world that God created, it wasn't too long before we read in the verses Genesis 6, 5, check it out for yourself. God saw that the wickedness of mankind was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Did you hear that? That wasn't his plan in the Garden of Eden. He wanted his first created to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth, to enjoy life, to care for the garden, to watch out for one another, and to eat of whatever would grow except that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, that was the one tree from which they ate. At that point, sin entered. Romans 5:12 states, through one man, that would be Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all humanity, for all have sinned. David even says in one of the Psalms, my mother who bore me was sinful, and I too am sinful. So we have two strikes against us as we get started. We're born wrong. Built within us is a nature to do wrong. Common sense gets lost in the process, and we begin to think wrong. There's another common something that is conspicuous by its absence. Common courtesy. Have you noticed? Of course you have. But we are overly tolerant and we look past it. God doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't yawn and say, oh, that's okay. That's kind of the way it is in a world like this. No. He sets his standard, and we're reminded of it, not in the schools we attend. Even in the highest of the learning we go through, we don't get it there. We don't get it in the military organization we become a part of. We don't get it in the business world. We get it from the scriptures. And so naturally, that becomes the watershed issue of our day. The scriptures are attacked, even put down. Why, of course. Because those who know the scriptures have an edge on how to live. They understand the culture, or as best we can. And we don't say that out of arrogance. And of course, it is so easy when someone becomes something in this world and gets caught up in it to expect special treatment. Another characteristic of lacking common courtesy is expecting to be first. It's wonderful to meet up with individuals who are true celebrities in the world's estimation, but they don't promote that. It's nice to know that some who are really well known don't remind you of that. Even though it will never make the headlines, or rarely will make the headlines, God thinks so much of these courtesy twins, kindness and goodness, he puts them in the cluster of nine. And because they're so similar, I see them as twins, courtesy twins needed in a day when we've lost our way. Courtesy in traffic. As we drive, courtesy at the market where we shop, courtesy in the neighborhood where life gets close, certainly courtesy even in the family where you're with each other. And children learn from this. I always know when I meet a courteous young man or woman, they have great parents. They're not born with courtesy. We learn it. Just as we're not born with prejudice, we learn it. And since it's learned, it's important enough for the Lord our God to add it to the list of these important traits. When parents have kindness and courtesy, they listen just as well as they talk. They hear what their children are saying. They pay attention. When a pastor has goodness and kindness, he has a heart. Rarely will you see acts of kindness. On occasion, when you do, it makes a special feature in the evening news. I mean, look at this. It should not be that rare with all the believers there are on this earth. So I wondered when I thought about this very, if you will, simple but profound subject, how can I address it so that it will maybe make a difference? It occurred to me that in Ephesians 4, the last nine verses of the chapter, we find what I would title Christianity 101. It's the most basic information about the Christian life you could find right here. even spells it out so that anyone who can read any language in which this is written will understand what it's saying. Now it comes at it through sort of a backdoor delivery, and it doesn't mince words. It points out things that we tend to fall into when we are oblivious to our culture. The first in verse 24 is that, or verse 25, is that we tend to lie. We do. We live in a lying culture. We're not surprised to hear that even our president lies. Even Congress people lie. People you trusted lied to you. Maybe your mate lies to you regularly. I hope not. What a way to fracture a home. He says clearly, stop telling lies. Let's tell one another the truth. It's a good place to begin if you want to do something kind and good for the other person. Be known as one who always tells the truth. I'm not going to use the word easy in this message. None of these are easy. They don't come naturally. Remember, we are by nature depraved. And when you're depraved, you rely on lies to get you through tight spots. When you have to let someone go because they're not doing a good job, it's easy to lie to them and make up another story that takes the edge off rather than telling them the truth. You're not a good fit in our company, or you're not the one we're looking for. We need someone else. Or you've not been doing a good job, and we need people that can really get this job done. And we regret this, but we'll need to let you go. You don't lie about it to make people feel good. And then they go to some other job and do the same thing there, having not been told the truth in the one they just in the job they just lost. So let's agree that we'll tell the truth. Now, the next one comes as a rather shocking surprise. He says, don't let anger control you. You say, Chuck, don't you remember you're talking to Christians? I do remember. I do. And some of you live in uncontrolled anger. Your anger is right at the edge. It's brimming. And doesn't take much to light the fuse. And you lash out. You're by nature angry. You've developed the habit and weren't blocked from that while you were growing up by wise, discerning, and disciplined parents. So you're now on your own as an adult, angry. So the text says very clearly, don't let your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. There we go. Let's say you're a married couple and you have an argument. That's common. Arguments are a part of marriage. I never put that in the vows, but it's true. Anyone married has had arguments. However, that's a test on courtesy. The way you argue with each other is to be done courteously. You don't linger. You don't go to bed back to back. Do you? Because when you do, it's like wet cement. It sets up overnight. It hardens. And you build up a little reservoir that you begin to put other angry thoughts into. So stay up later and work it out so that you don't go to bed angry. You may have to give up a little sleep, but it's worth it because Scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Let's just take it literally. If you hold a grudge, you're lingering in anger. You're soon going to become a bitter person. those with grudges, truth be told, are borderline bitter people. You may have a list. You will find it's almost impossible to pray for someone you've put on an anger list. So get rid of those lists. In fact, it goes on to say, anger gives the devil a foothold. Did you know that? The adversary gets a foothold in our lives when we linger in anger. We start thinking like the adversary. There's no way for believers to live. You don't want your life to be known by that. So deal with anger. Doing good and being kind will help you. Anger has no place in a good, kind life. And if that isn't enough, he says, if you're a thief, you go, Chuck, you're talking to Christians. I know. It's interesting, in every church I've served, we often miss hymnals. Wonder why? Hymnals don't have feet. And I think some people just take them and enjoy having the book handy, and it becomes a part of their library. If you have a hymnal from the church, bring it back. If you borrow a book from someone, don't steal it. Take it back. I rarely loan any of my best books because most people are thieves. I'm sure they don't mean to be, or certainly wouldn't want to be called that in public, even though I've just now done it. It's easy to take paper clips from the office. You didn't buy those paper clips. That isn't your paper. You see what I'm saying? It comes out in little ways, and we forget that it's a problem. Many, many believers steal from others. So quit. When you do good and you live kindly, you don't want to take anything that isn't yours. I sound like a parent, don't I? This is parent talk. But maybe your parents didn't drive this home. I'll never forget when I stole a dozen softballs. I don't know that I've ever announced this before, but I did. It never dawned on me I'd have to hide them when I get home. And I worked in a stock room of a five and dime store when I was in high school, and I kept seeing these softballs just sitting there collecting dust. And not too many of them were being sold. And I thought, shoot, I'm taking those babies home. So I stole them. And I got home and I thought, well, I'll put them in my drawer, forgetting that my mother is as omniscient or omnipresent as God. And she would surely find them. Sure enough, I got home from school the next day and there were all 12 softballs sitting on the dining room table with a little note that said, wait till your father comes home. That's the worst kind of note you can get, is to wait till your father comes home. So my father came home. He worked second shift at the shop. And he said to me, tomorrow we're going to go down. You're going to tell Mr. Hubbard you stole. I said, Dad, wait. I got a way I can take it back. They'll never know. He says, you're not going to do that. You're going to go back and tell him you're a thief. You're going to stand there with 12 softballs. And you're going to put him on his desk and you're going to say, Mr. Hubbard, I want to tell you that I stole those. It was yesterday and I got caught and I want to bring them back. I'm sorry. He said, I'll wait in the car for you. I said, you're not going to go in with me? He said, no, you're on your own. You stole them on your own. Take them back on your own. So he waits in the car and I go in. I see Mr. Hubbard, who's staring at me. And he had once trusted me, but now he couldn't. And he heard my confession, and he said, you're fired. I brought the softballs back. No, I know that, but you stole them. I can't trust you in this stock room. You're going to steal softballs. So now I got to go out and tell my dad I got fired and see what he says. Maybe he'll say, well, I should have gone in with you. No. He said, good. Started the car and drove off. Now you know how a thief feels. As I recall, we drove by a small little jail area that was in our community. And he drove a little slower there, and then we drove on. Guess what? I'm not a thief. It was a lesson learned. Some of you haven't been caught. When you're caught, it does something to you. In fact, you can read this to where you get off lightly. If you change the punctuation mark, you can read it. If you are a thief, hold on, I did this at home, it worked out. Anyway, if you change the punctuation mark, it reads, it's okay, just quit. Use your hands for good, et cetera, and as a result, you're home free. Let's agree that stealing has no place in our lives if we want to do what's good and kind. Oh, here's the way it read: Let him who steals steal. No longer let him labor working with his hands. That's the way it's supposed to come out. That was it. And how about our words? Do you see what it says? Wow. Let everything you say be good and helpful. So get rid of all foul and abusive language. You still curse? You still have the habit? It's a habit, you know. And I dealt with it constantly among others in the Marine Corps. I got so sick of foul language, I could scream. I got so sick of abusive comments made about women, I could scream. It was all over the barracks. I was ashamed of my fellow Marines. I mean, don't you have an education large enough, at least through junior high school, to know that it's a lack of vocabulary when you've got to use a vulgar word instead of the right word? It's a habit. Believers who curse, I've heard it all the way through the ministry. I have. Are you one of them? If you want to do good and if you want to be kind, cursing will never convey that. It's insulting. It's vulgar. It's a characteristic of the world culture.
You know, coarse conversations and vulgarity have no place in the family of God. This biblical standard defies modern convention, but goodness and kindness are two virtues the Apostle Paul identifies as fruit of the Spirit. You're listening to Insight for Living. Our Bible teacher Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Courteous Twins in a Corrupt Culture. It's just one of nine sermons in a brand new series from Chuck called The Fruit of the Spirit. Here at Insight for Living, we understand you can't be here every single day. So if you miss any portion of Chuck's study on the fruit of the Spirit, remember you can listen to the entire series by downloading our convenient mobile app. Or if you prefer to own a tangible copy of Chuck's series, you can purchase all nine studies on CD. Just give us a call at 800-772-8888. To complement this series, Insight for Living has produced a spiral-bound workbook for you. This resource on the fruit of the Spirit is part of our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies. The workbook is for listeners who want to fully engage in a personal study through all nine virtues that Paul identifies in Galatians chapter 5. You can order a copy right now by going to insight.org/workbooks. Insight for Living Ministries is financially sustained by grateful listeners just like you. And today we'd like to thank anyone who gives a contribution by sending a brand new booklet to you that's written by Chuck. It's called How to Follow a Giant. You know, sometimes we wonder about the next generation and whether they'll embrace the faith we hold dear. In this booklet, Chuck describes how to pass on wisdom to young leaders and how to honor the mentors who have gone before us. Ask for the booklet called How to Follow a Giant when you give a donation sent to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. You can also call us at 800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org/donate.
Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll with Insight for Living Ministries. We have produced an audio program just for kids and their parents called Paws and Tails. It's full of fun and music, and while all of that's going on, we're teaching your kids all about the God of the Bible, the God who loves them. I promise you're going to laugh and you're going to be delighted as Paws and Tails encourages your kids to imagine God's love.
And this is Dave Coral, creator of Paws and Tails. You all know that Chuck is a master storyteller. Well, he is the inspiration for how Paws and Tails is written and produced. We are here to teach and inspire little hearts to know God and love Him, and we do it through story and a whole lot of fun. Just what you'd expect from Chuck Swindoll. Well, I'd like to invite you, the parent, to listen in with your kids. I bet you will enjoy it, and perhaps you'll learn something too about just how much God loves His children. Join us at pawsandtails.org to start your journey into the world of Paws and Tails.
I'm Bill Meyer. Chuck Swindoll continues to describe what he calls courteous twins in a corrupt culture. Tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Courteous Twins in a Corrupt Culture, was copyrighted in 2023 and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.